Good morning. How's everybody this morning? How many of you are glad you're here? How many of you don't care? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. All right. We are so grateful for the fact that you are here this morning, and we hope that you're ready to be able to just enjoy all that God has for us in our service this morning. So if you got a bulletin, take it out. So hopefully, as you came in, you received one. If not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out. It is so important for you to be able to make sure that you have one. So we just have our morning worship service this morning. We are on all of our ministries are on summer break. And so so there's no Sunday school. You'll see that there's not a whole lot in here. So no Sunday school after the morning worship service. With that also, there means there's no children's church beginning today for the rest of the summer. So if you have children that are of the right parameters, and you'll see that in the bulletin, hopefully you grabbed a children's bulletin and you grabbed a pouch of coloring pencils so that your children can do that during the message. And we will have those available all the way through the summer months. Ladies, Tuesday, men, we have our leadership team meeting here at 6:30 here at the church. I hope you have that on your calendar and you'll be able to be here to be able to help with that. Hey, guess what? Pictorial directories are printed and they are in your mailboxes. And if you don't have a mailbox but you want one, you need to see Becky. And we'll make sure that we can get one for you. And so thanks, Christine, for all of your help. I think she's in the nursery, so I know she's listening. So thank you, Christine, for all of your work in putting this together. If you want one but you didn't get one, please let us know so that we can make sure that you have one. But just remember that the information in the pictorial directory, the information in the regular directory that's not a pictorial, and we have some of those out on the information table, is not to be given out to people outside of our church family. Okay? It is not a mailing list. It is not a, hey, contact these people in our church for this or that or whatever. That's not what it's for. It's for us here in Lake Hazel Bible Church to be able to get to know one another. That's what it's about. Y'all understand? I hate to be able to say that, but I have to because we've had problems with that in the past, and we just want to make sure that everybody understands that there's a reason for that. Ladies, on Saturday, you have an outing that you're going to the Lawson's Legacy Museum. If you did not get Diane's email about the details, please make sure that you see Diane today. If you want to go but you haven't made contact with Diane, make sure that you make contact with Diane today. So Diane, give a wave. All the ladies, turn around and look to see where Diane is, okay? All right, so that you can make sure we don't want anybody left out. And so please make sure that you are doing that. Also, you'll see in the bulletin that Becky and I will be leaving on Wednesday morning for vacation. And so if you need any pastoral assistance during this time, you can call Robert or you can call Jared. I'm not going to take the time to be able to tell you where we're going and what all we're going to be doing on our vacation. But we leave Wednesday, we come back the following Thursday. And so for the next two Sundays after today, Robert will be preaching. So he's going to preach on Mother's Day. You're going to want to be here for that. Okay? And then he's going to preach the following week on the 18th. And so I know that when the cat's away, the mice have a tendency to play. I don't want to come back and find out that Robert didn't have anybody to speak to. Okay? All right. Jared had nobody, and the worship team had nobody to lead worship for. And so I don't want to hear that. All right? So you make sure that you're here these next two Sundays to be able to be a support and an encouragement to Robert. I haven't told Robert this yet, but on the 18th, we'll be here in the service, even though he's speaking. Okay, so no pressure here, huh, Robert? Okay, all right. Well, this morning we are very blessed. Many of you know that part of our missionary support, our missionary program, we support some agencies. We support people, but we support agencies. One of those agencies is called Shiloh Bible Camp. And they're up in Donnelly. A lot of our church family in the past have been involved with them. A lot of our kids are involved with them. Jared and Christy currently are involved with them in a way. And the executive director, Tony Hidalgo, is going to come and he's going to share with us the ministry of Shiloh Bible Camp. So let's give him a round of applause as he comes. Let's give him a warm Lake Hazel Bible Church welcome. Tony, thank you. We're grateful for what God has called you to do. We're grateful that you are here today. And he's brought a whole team with him. So we'll turn it over to you.
Thanks. Check, check. Yeah, you should be good. Check. Okay. Cool. Go ahead, Kylie. We're gonna start off strong with Kylie and Jason McClanahan's.
All right. Hey, welcome to Shiloh Day at Lake Hazel. I appreciate it. Something interesting that I think is interesting. I grew up about a mile away on San Luis Way, so I grew up really close to you guys. I have stories, but anyway, so it's cool to be back. It's cool to see my old elementary school. Just to be back in this area is kind of fun for me. We drove down Lake Hazel Road from Meridian, which is a huge mistake. We took a tour of a couple neighborhoods, and they're beautiful neighborhoods. Yeah, if you guys get a chance, great thing to do. Anyway, and we made it here this morning, so we're glad to be here. Glad to be here with you. It's always fun to talk to a church that is such a great supporter of Shiloh. So we just want to be here to thank you. You guys are, I heard a lot of your stuff is not going for the summer. Well, Shiloh Bible Camp is gearing up. So we're getting excited. Summer's our big, big, big time. And we're getting ready. This will be our eighth summer, us three, as part of Shiloh, and then my boy couldn't be here this morning. He meant to, but he had too much work last night, so he's a little tired this morning. But yeah, that's our whole family, and we've been part of Shiloh for 8 years now. This summer will be our last summer. God has blessed Shiloh with a couple people coming in to help us and take our place and to hang out with my buddy Anthony as he carries on the legacy of Shiloh. So we are committed. We love Shiloh. We're not saying, you know, good riddance to Shiloh because we love it. It's been a big part of our lives for a long time. We went as kids. Julie and I both did. And we just love it. So I'm the office manager there. Like I said, we've been there for 8 years. And this will be our last summer. We are committed all the way through the summer until September. And then we're hoping God's had a great plan for our lives, and we're just going to let him lead us to the next place. So that's kind of where we're looking in our lives and what we're doing, and that's, you know, just nice to be here with you guys.
All right. So I'm Kylie. I run the Timothy program, which is my favorite thing. Let me make sure I hit all my bullet points. So I love the weeks that we get to come and speak to churches because you guys do so much to support Shiloh, and we really appreciate it. So I always tell people that I have the best job at camp because I get the privilege of running youth discipleship, which is super fun. So our Timothy program is based off the biblical relationship between Paul and Timothy that you can read about in Acts, as well as the letters that Paul wrote with Timothy and to Timothy. And then our theme verse is 1 Timothy 4:12, which says, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in faith, in life, in love, in speech, and in purity." So we work really hard to emphasize those principles to our kids. During the summer, I get to work with 12 to 20 kids every single week, which is super fun. Yes, so we do a lot of singing and dancing because you have to. But we also create really great memories, and we get to do some housekeeping things because it helps our camp out. So we appreciate that, Timmy's. We clean the dishes, we clean the bathrooms, it's super fun, we sing a lot, but we also get the opportunity to share Jesus with our campers, which is beautiful. With that, the real discipleship happens during our school year. So in Boise, at this church actually, Jared and Christy do a fantastic job running our Boise Timothy program, as well as some fantastic families that joined them. Yes, thank you guys. So this year we had 140 kids join our Timothy program, around 9 groups. So they meet a couple times every month, and we get to talk to them about Jesus, and they get to grow in their relationship with him. Jared does a fantastic job. He creates great Bible studies. He's really intentional about it. They play really fun games. It's always funny to watch them like run around the circle right here really chaotically. I'm a big fan. And then they're also so intentional to make sure that the kids can share the gospel as well as articulate what God has done in their lives. So I love that. If you have not checked that out, I highly encourage you to because it's awesome. In just a moment, I'm going to give it to Anthony. But personally, I really want to invite you all to be part of what God's doing at Shiloh this summer. So if you're between the ages of 8 and 18, come be a camper. It's super fun. We're going to have a good time. One of my favorite things about Shiloh is that we don't turn any kids away due to financial reasons. The gospel's a free gift, so we don't think it should be expensive to come. To come experience it at camp. So I love that. I'm passionate about that. If you're between 12 and 18, come hang out with Jared. Come hang out with Christy. It's super fun. They do a great job running the Timothy program. I got some Timmies in the back. I love them. So some of my best friends. If you're older than that, dude, still come up. It's going to be fun. We have spots in the kitchen. You can be on the maintenance team. What other things do we have for them? You can come cabin lead. Yeah, but we could use some maintenance and some kitchen staff. So yes, we'd love to invite you for that. Be part of what God's doing at camp. We also have our service day 2 weeks from now on May 17th, and I'd love to invite you to that too. Regardless, if you guys could be praying for us and all that God has planned for this summer, that it's just really powerful and impactful for these kids, that'd be great. So here's Anthony.
I have a mic.
Yes, sir.
So if someone wants to sign up for service day, how do they do?
You just show up. You come hang out. I'll feed you a donut. It's going to be great. Like, it'll be good.
Check. Am I on? Check. Maybe.
There we go.
Awesome. So, well, as you can tell, they kind of laid everything out for Shiloh. I just want to give a brief introduction. You guys may know me, may not know me, me and my family. My name is Anthony Hidalgo. My wife, Jaslyn, is back there with our son, Elijah, and with another one on the way in September. So we're super excited. We've came from the country of California. That's the joke I always... Yeah, it goes over really well. And we really didn't know what God had in store for us, but we did know that we wanted to serve him faithfully. And through that, we kind of uprooted everything that we had established, or we thought we did, and we moved up to Shiloh, and we haven't looked back since. You guys, as far as so many other churches as well, has been such an amazing support, not only to us financially as partners, but to Shiloh, and that's the biggest one, is coming up to seeing those kids just growing in their faith, and that's our biggest mission. Our mission for Shiloh is to impact campers for Jesus Christ for the furtherance of the gospel, and that's what we always want to do, and that's going to always stay as foundation. Things up at camp might change. There might be some upgrades. Things change in paint. And like Kylie said, we'll never turn a kid away, and the gospel will always be preached no matter what, as long as I'm a director there as well, and I believe that's what our board has set for us. So a couple things I want to just give, besides saying thank you, thank you, thank you, because I think this church, and Kylie might be able to share, is I think we have the most summer missionaries that have come up through here, Timothy's that have come up here, Jared and his wife have come up here. I'm still trying to get you for a full summer. I might do it next year. But just the amount of help, and knowing that we don't have to rely on ourselves, that we have the body of Christ, and it's really evident in this church of what you guys do and share and help with us. So I could stand up here and talk so much more details of the needs that we need. Like Kylie said, we have a service day coming up. We have a facilities position that is open, full-time missionary, as well as a lead cook. If you love cooking, we can teach you, and we have an awesome kitchen. So we'll be in the back after service. We'd love to answer questions, just to give you guys some information. Just give us our phone number. We'd love to chat with you how we can pray for you, and just have a really good time, and hope you guys can get up sometime up to camp. It doesn't need to be during summer. We're there all year long, and you just want to pop up and check it out, come on up. Doors are always open, literally. So, yeah.
So also on the back table, they have a clipboard with to collect some information. If you would like to be a regular part of getting their newsletter so that you can keep up with things that are going on up at Shiloh, put your contact information on there, but only do that if you promise to pray for them. That's the key. Just don't put your name on there just so that the mailman has something to deliver to you. Okay, all right. Well, let's have a word of prayer for the ministry at Shiloh and for this team that God has assembled. And as they're gearing up for summer, just like we're winding down for summer, they're gearing up. And so I know that they could use a lot of prayer. Father, we are just so grateful for the ministry of Shiloh. And Father, as a pastor, I am so grateful for the way that it has ministered to our kids, to our teenagers, to even the people in our church family. Through the years. And Father, what a blessing that is for us to be able to know that you are using them not only to impact others, but especially here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. And we just pray that partnership will just continue, and Father, that it will be just sweet. Father, help us to be able to keep Shiloh in our prayers, Father, not only as church leaders, but also as a church family. Father, we just pray that that all of the details that are yet to fall into place, that you will be in every single one of them. You will direct the right people. You will direct the right kids. Father, you will just, you're, at the end of the season, if you tarry, Father, may they look back on it and say, God be glorified. Because that's what their mission is to glorify you. So, Father, we're just so grateful for the opportunity we've had to be able to hear from them, to be able to know more about their ministry, and to be able to know how more specifically we can pray. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget, at the end of the service, stop by their table in the back. All right. I'm ready to praise and worship. How about you?
Let's do this.
All right. Let's get it
on. Would
you
all stand with me this morning? Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand. With a mighty hand. An outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Setting sun, his love endures forever, and by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing. God is faithful, forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever, forever. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name.
Let's lift him up.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name.
He's worthy.
And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Yeah, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. Oh, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, yeah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name, your glorious name, your glorious name. At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice. Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. And there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will say, yes, Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord. We love to shout your name, oh Lord. We love to shout your name, oh Lord. Lord, you are good and you're worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor. Lord, we lift you up today. We praise you. We praise how great you are, Lord. You're so awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior, our future, our hope, our peace. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning. He's worthy of our praise, amen? Amen. Yes. We're going to sing a few more songs about him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let's sing that again. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. For He has done great things.
He has done great things.
That you would be blessed today by our worship, that you'd be blessed today by our giving, you'd be blessed today by us, Lord. We choose it. We choose to bless you today. Lord, as we give, Lord, I pray that we would give only out of a heart of worship. We would give for you and your glory, for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. So as the ushers take this morning's offering, please remember that offering is your act of worship. It's not that the church needs your money. It's not that God needs your money. Worship Him.
With us, revealed in us, Emmanuel. Thank you so much, worship team. Turn with me, if you will, to Joshua. Joshua in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 11, continuing on in our study of the book of Joshua. So a man was standing in the water when he asked his friend on the shore, "Are there any alligators in this river?" The man on the shore said, "Not a single one." But his friend in the water was not convinced. The man in the water asked again, "Are you sure there are no alligators? Because if there are no alligators, what are these gray forms I'm seeing?" The man on the shore said, "Don't worry. There are no alligators in the water. These gray forms are the sharks that have chased the alligators away. You know, sometimes life is like that. You get one, you get through one problem, and then another one takes its place. It's like trading alligators for sharks. You ever had that experience? Can you relate? Yeah, I think we all can. And when that happens, you ask yourself, will I ever get any rest from my circumstances? Will I ever find any peace? Well, the good news is, yes, you can get rest from the struggle. And in Joshua chapter 11, we see that Joshua finally got rest for the Israelites in their conquest of the land of Canaan. Hopefully by now you've found Joshua chapter 11 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 5. When Jabin, king of Hazor, heard of this, he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshaph. Aren't you glad you're not reading this? And to the kings who were in the northern hill country, and in the Araba south of Chinneroth, and in the lowland, and in Nahathdor on the west. To the Canaanites in the east and the west, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites in the hill country, and the Hivites under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they came out with all their troops, a great horde, in number like the sand that is on the seashore, with very many horses and chariots. And all these kings joined their forces and came and encamped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. When the kings in the north heard that Joshua had completely conquered all of the kings in the south, they gathered their armies together to fight against Israel. And did you see in verse 4? It describes those armies as a great horde. Now Josephus, who is a first century Jewish historian, described this army as 300,000 foot soldiers, 10,000 cavalry soldiers, and 20,000 chariot riders. This was a mega army. And it was a mega army with the latest military technology at the time. Now, military strategists estimate that a soldier on horseback was worth dozens of foot soldiers on the ground. So now it seems like Joshua just traded alligators for sharks. The armies of the south for the armies of the north. And those gray forms are lurking on the horizon. But that's when God steps up, as he usually does, when circumstances seem overwhelming. Look at verses 6 and 7. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them, for tomorrow at this time I will give over all of them, slain, to Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire." So Joshua and all his warriors came suddenly against them by the waters of Merom and fell upon them. Wow. With God's instruction and God's promise ringing in his heart, Joshua didn't wait for the enemy to come to him. He went after the enemy, who was camped by the waters of Merom, which is just a few miles northwest of the Sea of Galilee. Now, it was a five-day journey to get to them, but Joshua made the journey and then what? Attacked right away. Look at verses 8 and 9. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Israel, who struck them and chased them as far as Great Sidon and Mishrathmaim, and eastward as far as the valley of Mizpah. And they struck them until he left no one remaining. And Joshua did to them just as the Lord said to him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. Joshua killed every enemy soldier. He crippled their horses and burned their chariots, just like God had instructed him to do. Now, wait a minute, though. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Joshua could have used those horses and chariots in future battles to great advantage. So why in the world would God give him the instruction to make the horses and the chariots useless? Here's the reason. Because God doesn't want people to trust. God wants people to trust him, not to trust horses and chariots, not to trust in the latest technologies. and not to trust their own intelligence. You know, we see that in other places in the Old Testament. 400 years after Joshua, David would proclaim this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20, verse 7. Did we just sing some songs about the name of the Lord? God did it again, Jared. He just keeps doing it over every Sunday. And then 300 years after what David wrote, Isaiah proclaimed this warning: woe to those who rely on horses, who trust in chariots, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. Isaiah 31, verse 1. What is this telling us? God wants us to look to him when we are trying to find rest in a time of trouble that has come to our way, that has come into our lives. This is what God asked Joshua to do. And guess what? It's what he's asking each one of us to be able to do as well. So if you want to find rest from the struggle in your own life, don't trust the things of this world. If you need to find rest from the struggles of life, let me give you some steps to follow. Here's the first one. Trust God. Trust God. You say, whoa, wait a minute, Pastor. That sounds so simple. You're right. It is so simple. It's you and I that make it difficult, because we think it's about us, when really God says it's about him. Trust him. Trust God. Depend on his power. Trust in his promises and in his instructions, just like Joshua did. In 1971, the Afghan government gave a fledgling group of believers permission to begin a church in Kabul. It was the only Christian church building permitted in all of Afghanistan. The Afghan government permitted this place of worship only for the use by the foreign community. It was never to be used by the Afghan people. One Sunday morning, 3 years after the church's dedication, soldiers arrived and began to tear away the wall between the street and the church building. One gentleman in the congregation went to Kabul's mayor and declared, "If your government touches that house of God, God's going to overthrow your government." The mayor responded by ordering the congregation to turn over their church for destruction, eliminating the need for the Afghan government to pay them any compensation. "This building does not belong to us, but to God," the people of the church replied. "We can't turn it over for destruction." And they proceeded to serve tea and cookies to the soldiers who were destroying their place of worship. On Tuesday, July 17th, 1973, the Afghan soldiers completed their destruction of the church building. That very night, King Mohammad Zahir Shah, who had ruled for 40 years, was overthrown in a coup. What trust! This church did not take up arms or resort to their own schemes to fight the soldiers that were destroying their church. Nope. They showed them the love of Jesus by serving them tea and cookies. Also, this church did not seek to overthrow the government by protest or political maneuvering. Nope. They simply trusted God to bring rest in their difficult circumstances. And God did it. Don't trust your own schemes, because when you do, there will be no rest from those circumstances of life. Do not try to be smart enough or strong enough to move forward on your own in the struggles of life. But when you put your trust in God like Joshua did, when you depend on his power and rely on his promises, there's nothing for you to worry about anymore. Instead, you can rest in the assurance that God is going to see you through. Here's the second step. Not only trust God, obey God. Do what God tells you to do in his word. Then give your all to God. This is what Joshua did. We're going to pick it up in verse 10 and read down through verse 17. "And Joshua turned back at that time and captured Hazar and struck its king with the sword, for Hazar formerly was the head of all those kingdoms. And they struck with the sword all who were in it, devoting them to destruction. There was none left that breathed. And he burned Hazar with fire. and all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua captured and struck them with the edge of the sword, devoting them to destruction, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But none of the cities that stood on mounds did Israel burn, except Hazor alone that Joshua burned. And all the spoil of these cities and the livestock the people of Israel took for their plunder. But every person they struck with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, and they did not leave any who breathed. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hill country and all the Negev and all the land of Goshen and the lowland and the Arabah and the hill country of Israel and its lowland from Mount Halak, which rises towards Seir as far as Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon. And he captured all of their kings and struck them and put them to death. After defeating the enemies of the north, Joshua takes their cities, especially their capital city, called Hazor, doing everything God said to do. And as we're told here, it tells us that Joshua left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded him. Joshua obeyed God's word, and that's what you must do if you want to find rest from the struggles in your own life. As you depend on him, do everything he tells you to do. Leave nothing undone. Where do we find today what it is that he wants us to do? From his word. It's all in here. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all in here. All we have to do is read it. All we have to do is study it. All we have to do is do what it is that he tells us to be able to do. Leave nothing undone. But there's a problem. Problem is that many people treat God's word like a buffet. They take what they like and they leave the rest. They like God's instructions that don't seem to cost too much, and they ignore or neglect the ones which call for self-sacrifice. And then they wonder why their life is still so full of trouble. Can I remind you of something this morning? You might want to write this down. Selective obedience is disobedience, which most of the time results in disorder and then leads to disaster. Selective obedience is disobedience, which most of the time results in disorder and then leads to disaster. Found that true in your own life experience? To find rest from the struggle in your life, do not pick and choose which parts of God's word you're going to follow. Instead, like Joshua, leave nothing undone of all that God has instructed us in the Bible. Jason Brown was the highest paid center in the NFL. For those of you who don't know anything about football, the center is the one on offense, on the offensive line, who hands the ball to the quarterback. Okay? Every play of the game, the center on offense, when the team is on offense, has his hands on the ball, just like the quarterback. Okay? All right? And so it's a very important position to be responsible for. But he was the highest paid center in the NFL playing for the St. Louis Rams. In late 2011, Jason had two children and a mansion. Yet he and his wife were dying inside and were headed toward divorce. As a believer, Jason had to admit that his relationship with Jesus was a ticket to forgiveness and very little else. Until he released his grip on money and football. Jason said he started releasing his grip on his own lavish lifestyle by pouring thousands of dollars of expensive liquor down the drain. After leaving the Rams and turning down three other NFL teams, Jason and his wife put their home up for sale and bought a 100-year-old farmhouse with a dairy barn and 1,000 acres of land in North Carolina. Jason would become a farmer. and started giving away what he grew. And Jason learned the farm basics from YouTube, which resulted in First Fruits Farm, an organization that seeks to help the community and to help others know the Bible. 10,000 pounds of cucumbers and 100,000 pounds of sweet potatoes later, Jason says, "I still know nothing about farming." But Jason can summarize his business plan and his life plan these days by one phrase: obedience to God. Now that's obedience. That's the way to find rest. However, you cannot obey God like that on your own. That's why you should trust him. That's why you need to depend on him. And as you depend on God, he gives you the strength to do all that he has instructed you to do. Here's the third step. Wait on God. Wait on God. Be patient. Be patient. You know, every Thursday morning when I go to Riverview Rehab to do chaplain work, and I go room by room visiting people, all walks of life, all ages, I remind them over and over and over again that they need to be patient with the process of recovery. And I tell them, especially the ones who have gray hair like I do, or even more, I say, the more mature we are, the longer the process of recovery takes. I don't want to use the word older, so I say more mature. And then I tell them, so because it's a process, you have to be patient in the process. And they'll go, "Whoa, Pastor, I don't have a whole lot of patience." And I would say, yes, because as a human being, none of us have a whole lot of patience. But I'm telling you, because of the age in which we are, when there's need for recovery, we need to be patient with the process. And then I tell them, we need to trust God. We need to rely on his strength. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16 says what? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Oh, I think it's 4:13. Think. Anyway, okay? Depend on him. That's the way to find rest, because we cannot find God, obey God like that on our own. And don't give up until God brings you rest from the struggle. That's what Joshua does. The rest of chapter 11 and all of chapter 12 describes Joshua's continual conquest of the land of Canaan and the kings he subdued. Over and over and over again in chapter 11 and chapter 12, we read about how Joshua waited on the Lord. Joshua had all of these conquests. Joshua had all of these victories. Could he have just gone headlong? He could have, but he didn't. He waited on the Lord. And then in chapter 11, in verse 18, it says, Joshua made war a long time with those kings. A long time. It didn't come quickly. It didn't come easily. But he waited on the Lord. And then in the last verse of chapter 11, it says, and the land had rest from war. Why? Because Joshua obeyed God. Because Joshua trusted God. Because Joshua waited on God. Rest came through Joshua's trust and obedience in time. It took a long time for him to experience that rest. But during that time, he was patient in the struggle. He didn't give up until the victory was won. I can't tell you how many times in all of the years of my times of ministry, I've heard someone say to me, "I'm done, Pastor. I'm just done. I can't do this anymore. I can't live like God wants me to live. I can't obey the things that he tells me in his word he expects for me to be able to do. I just can't do this anymore." And then we never see them again. A little bit of hard time, a little bit of hard difficulty comes to someone in our church family, and They don't know how to handle it. They choose not to handle it the way that God would want them to handle it, and they bail. And you never see them anymore. And they walk away from their faith. And then from that moment on, it's struggle after struggle after struggle. I can give you names, but I'm not going to. Because you know, you've run into people like that. But that's what we must do if we want to experience rest from the struggle of life. We need to trust God. We need to be sure and obey him. And then wait on him. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, that talks to us about waiting. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. You might be familiar with this verse. You might have it hanging up somewhere in your house. But they who wait for the Lord, they who what? Wait for the Lord. They who run ahead of the Lord, they who lag behind the Lord, no, those who what? Wait for the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not what? Faint. It may take time. So be patient while God works his plan and purpose in your life. Strength and rest come to those who wait for the Lord. They don't give up on God. And I'm asking you, don't you ever give up on God either. So what do I want you to walk away with this morning? Here's what I want you to take with you. To gain the rest that satisfies, you need to trust God, obey him, and wait on him. And when I think about that, I'm reminded of a hymn, a very, very old hymn. And the hymn goes like this. Jesus, I am resting. Resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Simply trusting thee, Lord Jesus, I behold thee as thou art, and thy love so pure, so changeless, satisfies my heart, satisfies its deepest longings, meets, supplies its every need, compass me round with blessings. Thine is love indeed. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Let's pray. Father, help us to be able to wait on you. Father, help us to trust you. Help us to obey you. But Father, most of all, help us to be able to wait for you. Father, there are struggles that come into our life. There are circumstances that come into our life that we don't understand. There are challenges that come our way that we don't know the end from the beginning. We don't know how you're going to bring us through them. So, Father, help us trust you. Help us obey your word. And then, Father, help us to wait on you so that you, in your time, in your way, for your plan, for your purpose, can bring us the rest you desire for us to have. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand for this last song with me?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. Surrender all.
each do the next verse, all to Jesus.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me save your holy line. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender.
I surrender.